the haunted backroads of America, and live from the G&D Show Studio, this is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Demon Hunter!
Yes, sir!
What's going on, dude?
Just turning off my ringer so we don't have another mishap last week.
Ring, ring. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you guys listening? Because they want to know. So check them out at actionaudioapps.com. The SYL Project. Give some love. Share some love today. The SYLproject.com. Paranormal A. Thanks, everybody in Canada and the United States and the world for being so very cool on this Sunday night, the year of our Lord, 2015. Why don't people talk like that anymore, the year of our Lord?
Because we don't have time, Sean.
We're too busy.
We don't have time to add extra words to our sentences any longer.
We've lost class along the way. Is that what it is?
I think we've just gotten used to everything happening so quick. We've abbreviated our words. If you look at Old English, there were no abbreviations.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the King James Bible, it doesn't say, "Forgive them, God, they don't know what they're doing."
Right.
They don't know what they do. So, you listen to German, you translate it.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like it's backwards, but that's because they take time. They take time in what they say.
They take lots of time. Too much time. Kind of like what you're doing right now.
Well, that's my job. stretch things out.
Hey! Happy late birthday to our very special friend, good friend of the show. 64th birthday, our gal pal, the mistress of the dark, Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira.
Uh-oh, you just gave out her real age. Now she's never coming back on the show.
Well, she put it out there. She said 64th birthday. Can you imagine that? 64 never looked so good.
She does look really good. That picture is something there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even before and after, it's like, wow. Wow. It's amazing. I put that post on our Facebook page, and everybody, we had like 10,000 shares or something on there. It's the Mistress of the Dark, dude.
I gotta say, I've been, very excited. And I think tomorrow, I'm gonna use a Mistress of the Dark picture for my countdown to Halloween.
You're gonna do that?
Yeah, I think she's earned it.
Yeah, I think you should definitely put her on there. I think she's cool. She's ready to go with that. I don't know. So anyway, it's the 20th of September, man. Where has the time gone? Here at the Shadow Nation, listeners around the world, it is Sunday night. If you don't know what the Shadow Nation is, that's our faithfuls, G&D Show faithfuls, our listeners. This message brought to you by Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Because I repeat
really?
Myself.
Really? Because right now, from this studio, it's coming to you from Yingling Oktoberfest.
Yingling beer. Yeah, I was looking on Facebook the other day, and that reminds me, guys, check out, we have our Facebook page, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Check out our Twitter. See what's going on.
The tweeter.
Yes. Shoot us a tweet. Let us know what you think of the show, what's going down tonight. Even if you hate it, we'll put your comments online and tell you how much you suck. But that's a return thing. But anyway, we can do that for you guys. Halloween is upon us.
Ooh.
What do you think about that?
I think we're going to be pretty busy.
You excited about it?
I'm excited. Aren't you excited?
I am. I'm stoked, man.
I'm stoked.
Well, I've been doing the party. We throw a party every year here at the house, and I've just been working so hard on it. It's like, oh, my God. By the time Halloween gets here, the party, I'm going to be like, nah, just tell everybody it's over.
I'll be inside. Let me know if everybody has fun.
Yeah. Now, hey, refresh my memory, because you guys get down with Halloween, too, over there, you and your wife. What's the name? I was telling Stacy about it, my wife, the other day. That thing where you guys get together and you drink wine amongst the dead. Explain that. Tell me the name of it. Who started it all?
We just call it the cemetery. We cemetery cocktail party. It's hosted by one of our friends.
Yeah.
He has permission to host it in the cemetery.
All right.
And none of us is allowed to say what cemetery it is, where it is, when it is, anything like that. He's the only one allowed to invite people.
Why not? And I don't understand that.
Because he is in charge of it, and if it gets out of hand, he'll lose permission to use the cemetery.
Gotcha, and he doesn't want the kids.
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah,
it's old people, right? There's not many young.
Hey, what you talking about, Willis?
That's right. What's going on, Willis? Anyway, yeah, I think that's extremely cool. I wonder how many people, I wish we still had a call-in line, because I want people to tell us how many out there have things like that. I mean, that's rare.
Yeah, and we only do it in the month of October.
Yeah, we only do it in the month of October, and that's very cool. And I think everybody should do something like that. I wonder how many different weird things are out there. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, that you would say that's not your normal thing, right?
Yeah, most people wouldn't be into it, I suppose. But, you know, we load up the cars and the trucks. We build our own bars. Unfortunately, you either have to live on the road or have a designated driver.
Yeah.
That's always the lousiest job of the night. I've had it.
Do you guys read poetry there and stuff like that?
No, we don't read poetry. We have recordings of the soundtracks and the actual lines of different old movies.
Oh, wow.
And we play in the background, there's always either the soundtrack of an old horror movie.
Okay.
Or the actual dialogue from an old horror movie always playing in the background.
And that's just for mood, ambiance, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. Then you guys just mingle and have some wine. And
oh, yeah. Sit in the trucks, sit in the... People bring lawn chairs, and we serve cocktails. And
oh, well, I would definitely do that. I think that's cool. I would love to come out there and try that sometime.
You know what I'm doing this year, Sean, that you are going to be heavily jealous about.
What's that? What are you doing this year?
Sleepy Hollow's Pumpkin Festival.
Oh, really? You're going to do that and you didn't even invite me? That's amazing.
Well, I'm actually going the week after Halloween this year. It's the last week that it's held.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, with Halloween, October, you know, we're just too booked up for the month of October.
We are.
You know, it's... I've had people tell me before, they're like, oh, I'm doing this in October. And I'm like, well... I'm sorry, I can't attend.
Yeah, we had one of those come up at the last minute, folks. It's very hard if you guys send us a request for a festival or a conference or something to book us, you know, last minute because we're so tied up. It's not that we don't want to do it. It's just...
Yeah, we're booking October and July, folks.
Some people do like us. They want us to be places and they get us about a year ahead time. Anyway, Nathan, listeners around the world, you know what time it is?
I think I know what time it is.
Tonight's guest!
Oh, it's that time. Okay.
You should know what time it is. I got to bring the picture in, guys, because I'm not very professional, and I didn't have it preloaded. You see the picture. Tonight's guest, he's a Canadian actor best known for his role as Richard Ringo Langley, one of the lone gunmen from the television smash hit The X-Files. Also from the TV series The Lone Gunman, he's also the host of his own show called the Chill Pack Hollywood Hour podcast. Tonight, Mr. Dean Haglund is going to be right here in studio, guys. He's going to be asking X-Files questions, hopefully past. Definitely past, but present, hopefully. He'll be asking those questions. Tell us what old Dean's been up to here lately since his starring roles on, I would say, one of the world's greatest television shows that's ever been out there. Wouldn't you?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, guys.
My little Scully doll is nodding yes, too.
Why don't you have a Dean doll?
Next time I go to Comic-Con, I'll pick up a Dean doll.
You need to get a Dean doll.
Because that's where I got the Scully doll.
Anyway. Anyway, he's going to be in studio, guys, tonight. Actor Dean Haglund Langley from The X-Files. Stay tuned. Only at the home of the Mystifying Oracle of Radio. That's right. Your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Behind the truth. The truth is out there. Right?
I think there's more to it than that, Sean.
You think there's more to Dean?
No, I think there's more to the truth. I think the truth is in here.
I think it is. I think it's right here at this show.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, Sean, I just want to throw out there, because you and I have talked about this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people have been listening to the show. We've been getting some great guests on. Yeah. And they've been saying, hey, you know, the guest comes on at such and such a time. Yeah. We'd like to remind people that we want you to listen to us, too. Yeah. We've been doing this for 9 years.
Well, you know, there's a lot of shows out there, guys. The guest segment's from 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and that's when the guest comes on. But this show is not just a guest show. We have friends in the biz that come on here, and we work very hard for the guests. But this is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, and we talk about all things paranormal related, from horror movies to, you know, sci-fi movies to actual, you know,
all the little things paranormal that interested stuff. Us this week.
That's true. It's kind of ADD.
And for our entire lives.
That's it. That's it. But yeah, last week's guest, huh? Patrick Doyle was on talking about his new series coming up, Behind the Screams, guys.
That's winner of the most ever on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show guest award.
Yeah, the most reoccurring guest ever that we've had on this show. We've had like Elvira twice and a lot of... Hey, what's going on? Here goes the ADD. What's going on with Blackbeard Ship, man?
That's right, folks. ADD DJs. I guess that make us ADD DJs.
Well, I was bored with it, so I didn't want to talk about it anymore. But what's going on with this, man?
Apparently...
Yeah.
There is a lawsuit going on over Blackbeard's ship.
Okay. All right. And I thought they found this stuff a long time ago. It's been quite a while. Now, it's all of a sudden, somebody's just coming forward and wanting to poke fun at these people or what? I mean, you know, they want to say that's mine. Everybody wants to say that's mine. And it's not mine. Like Titanic. It's not in international waters where people have claim to it. That's off the coast of America, North Carolina. That's ours, baby.
You would think so.
Wrecks large size weapons that of 18th century pirate experts say. So they found a lot of weapons, cannons, laying on the ocean bottom. I don't know how they waited that long. I guess nobody wanted to check it out, right?
Well, you know, they went over. They didn't see anything sparkly. They figured, there's no gold down there. Let's move on.
Yeah. No gold. But still, I would love to have Blackbeard's cannon in my dining room. Talk about a conversational piece.
By the way, you know, that's Blackbeard's canon there.
So what's on TV? Yeah, it's cool. Anyway.
The TV that's sitting on top of Blackbeard's canon. Yeah.
Name of his ship. Do you remember the name of Blackbeard's ship? Queen Anne's Revenge. The most ruthless pirate to ever sail the open seas.
Yeah, so I guess, Sean, after 15 years of since the discovery of the shipwreck off the coast of North Carolina... it has been confirmed.
Okay.
That it's taken 15 years for them to confirm.
Gotcha.
That it is the 18th century pirate ship, the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Wow. I wonder how they confirmed that. I mean, there was a lot of piracy around North Carolina then, back then.
Well, it was one of the... It's funny, when you look at a map, you don't think, you know, because we all know this, you know, who didn't watch Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
But we all think, you know, Caribbean pirates, stuff like that, north. But if you look at a map, you don't really get a sense of how all these ships used to come back and forth from the Carolinas to the Caribbean.
You forgot. The Caribbean.
Blah, 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 blah. No, Caribbean. I was just, you know, we've had so many guests on the show, Sean. I was thinking back to the North Carolina pirate tours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that
came
was great.
On, and he told us how many of the pirates had bases in the Caribbean but owned plantations in North Carolina.
Lots of money. And wives. Yeah. They had wives.
Yeah.
Well, Blackbeard had one. That was the rumor. And then she...
And he had the right idea. Get me on a ship. Get me out of here.
Yeah. Well, I remember, actually, she was trying to refine him, I guess. And he was wearing nice clothes and stuff. And he had I don't know what his men were doing. I guess he just... cut him loose there in the town. I'm sure the town was grateful for that.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, party!
If you've ever ridden the Pirates of the Caribbean ride down in Disney World and seen the pirates chasing the women around the post there, I'm sure that's what was going on. Arg!
Anyway, she corrected him one too many times or something in the presence of other people. So basically what he did was he gave her to his men. And he said, screw this, I'm a pirate again.
Oh, Sean, that's the wrong thing to say.
That's
he
what
gave
it was.
Her to her men and said, screw this.
Screw this! I'm a pirate again. I added that, though. You're dirty. You're a pirate yourself, pirate radio host.
Arg! I've got a great pirate costume.
Anyway, apparently, Until recently, the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources emphasized that the wreck discovered in 1995, see, I was right, they found it in 1995, was thought to be the Queen Anne's Revenge. Now, after a comprehensive review of the evidence, those same officials are sure it's the ship sailed by one of the history's fiercest and most colorful pirates. After the things he done, and they say colorful, that's amazing.
That colorful is amazing. A nice way of saying. Yeah. See, Sean, there's a throwback to using eloquent.
Yes,
eloquent.
It is. Very delicate.
Eloquent language.
Yeah, very eloquent. But that's like saying Ed Gein was colorful. I really love the way you wore that lady's skin. You're very colorful, Edward. Anyway, there was apparently not one aha moment, said Claire Auble, public relations coordinator for the North Carolina Maritime Museum. There was a collection of moments and a deduction based on the evidence when they had a press conference Tuesday. There was two main reasons for the team's certainty. The sheer size of the wreck and the many weapons that were found in the rubble. Huh?
Well, here you go, Sean. Considering life at sea, you're out on the ocean. You've been kidnapped.
Yo-ho, yeah.
You're now a pirate.
Yo-ho.
And a British ship comes up behind you.
Yes.
But they don't see you. And you have the opportunity to jump ship and get on the British ship. But you know if you get on the British ship, they're not going to free you.
No, they're going to see
you. They're just going to make you part of the British ship.
Yes.
Crew. No. The military, the Navy crew.
If they don't know who you are.
The British Army Shanghai people almost as much as the pirates.
They Shanghai'd.
The Navy. So which would you rather have been?
In the Navy.
Or pirate?
A pirate. Beat to the drummer, right? Different drummer? I follow no man's orders. You hear me? No man.
Not even the man with the gun?
Not even the man with the gun. No, I think I would rather die than, you know, jump on there and say, oh, now I'm a... Well, they would, too. Actually, the Pirate's Code was pretty much whatever's the best way. However I can get out of this one, that's my code. So, I don't know. Anyway, they found the shipwreck. There was a bunch of weapons, cannons and stuff, and they thought, man, this must be Queen Anne's Revenge. It was known to have been in the area, and a pirate ship would have been well-armed. That's what they were saying at the press conference anyway. So that's what led them to believe this was Queen Anne's Revenge. Okay, the shipwreck and Luke points to Blackbeard. Did you read this article at all?
I did.
You did? Well, why don't you take it away then? You want to?
Because you're doing a great job.
Oh, well, I can continue if you want. Blackbeard achieved his infamous immortality in only a few years operating in the Caribbean Sea and off the coast of colonial America before being killed in a battle with British ships in North Carolina's Pamlico Sound in 1718. Pamlico Sound in 1718. Anyway, they got a book out about it, guys. Read it. Grim Life, Cursed Real Pirates of the Caribbean.
Did they cut his head off?
Let's see here. Some historians have speculated that he deliberately ran the Queen Anne Revenge's revenge aground so that he could keep the most valuable plunder for himself. Such loot has helped archaeologists link to the wreck to Blackbeard since excavation started in 97. Among the major recovered artifacts are... You ready for this?
I'm always ready.
Yeah, it's weights stamped with tiny floors. I don't know what that is. Royal symbols of the 18th century France. Queen Anne's Revenge was actually a former French ship. Le Concorde. Did you know that?
I did not.
I didn't either. Anyway, captured by Blackbeard in 1717, he forced Le Concorde's surgeon to join the pirate crew, and the surgeon at that time likely would have been, I don't know, somebody. They didn't list the guy's name. I don't understand that. Anyway, the surgeon was likely to be somebody back then, guys, because they didn't list his name. A small amount of gold was found. Hey, there you go. Small amount of gold was found.
That's what they're always looking for. Pirate gold sells for a lot of money these days.
Yeah, the gold was found with the lead shot. Lead shots, apparently, for the ammunition and stuff like that. Archaeologists think a French crewman might have hidden the gold in a barrel of shot to conceal it from Blackbeard's pirates. See, he was being stole by from a pirate. Those darn pirates. I wonder if he ever said that. God, you can't trust a pirate. Oh, no.
And then you can always trust a pirate to be a pirate.
Yeah. There was a bell engraved with the date 1705. God, that would be awesome to have that, man.
You're still thinking of what would look best in your living room, wouldn't you?
It would, man. The bell 1705. Well, you'd never have to work again if you had that. Put that on YouTube. See what, or YouTube. Put that on eBay. See what happens. Anyway, idea Blackbeard's ship never really in doubt. The disclaimer about the wreck's identity was more an acknowledgement of the strict code of scientific scrutiny that the result of any serious doubts about the ship's identity. But it doesn't talk about they were just being safe and precautious when saying it was Queen Anne's Revenge. First museum recently opened, Blackbeard's Queen Anne. It doesn't say anything about the lawsuit and everything you were talking about.
I read that earlier. Let me see if I can find that article.
Yeah, you were talking. No, that's all right. I mean, we don't have to. We just spent, you know, 10 minutes on
Blackbeard's Queen Anne's Revenge. We love pirates. What do you want?
We do. You love it. Anyway, that leads us into another one, Nathan. If you think Talk Like a Pirate Day is the silliest day of the year, think again.
No. There's nothing sillier than Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I never even knew this existed till last year. This comes from our friends at the Huffington Post. Thanks, guys. If you think it's Talk Like a Pirate Day is the silliest day of the year, think again. Let's see what it is. This Saturday is Talk Like a Pirate Day. So we missed it by one day, Nathan.
Oh, man.
We're talking like pirates here on the radio, but we missed it, actually, by one day. So we're in violation of the code.
See, I was doing it last week. Where was it?
I don't know. You were in violation. This Saturday is Talk Like a Pirate Day, International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Just in case you spend 364 days a year resisting the urge to place a parrot on your shoulder, those who commit acts of criminal violence at sea, here's a 24-hour window when they all make perfect sense. Me hearties! There, I threw that in. That was actually in the article, so I'm not in violation of any rules of conduct in the Pirate Day. But if dedicating a day to the pirate speak sounds silly, a quick peek through the eye patch, apparently you can go to daysoftheyear.com, makes it appear positively highbrow in comparison to some of the other weird celebrations, all of which are legitimate, despite sounding like someone made them up. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Let's see here. Make up weird of the day year. I'm sorry. Weird day of the year. Anyway, January kicks off with Step in a Puddle and Splash Your Friends Day.
Well, that's a bad day.
But it doesn't.
January is the wrong time to be doing that. I get wet. I get a cold.
See?
That's just wrong.
Get the flu.
That's a bad day. Next, stop that, people.
Next up, another title of a day. Splash. Bubble Wrap Appreciation Day. Now, who doesn't like bubble wrap?
I love bubble wrap. Bubble wrap deserves our appreciation.
I love bubble wrap.
I love popping the little bubble to see go pop, pop, pop. I love that.
Inane Answering Message Day.
What?
Inane Answering Message Day.
Okay.
I guess that's like you can do something crazy on the answering machine. Answering message. Or maybe you just answer questions.
You remember those?
Inane.
You remember those recordings you could buy when we were... Like in the 80s, it'd be like, leave a message at the beep.
I do.
Leave a message at the beep.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was high tech, man. You had to have that. What about the, I just brought this up the other day. It's not off topic. Do you remember Showbiz Pizza? Before it was
Barely.
Chuck E. Cheese, it was Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah.
All right, for you young listeners out there, this is, I'm going to drop a bomb on you here. Chuck E. Cheese has not always been Chuck E. Cheese. It was called Showbiz Pizza, and they had several characters, not just the mouse, Chucky. I'm going to tell you all about it. I remember having a birthday party there one time, or going to a birthday party. My folks couldn't afford to take me to a birthday party at Showbiz. But I remember they would make these records, and it would be Chuck E. Cheese singing, Happy Birthday, and then in a... It was terrible because he'd be like, Happy Birthday, Happy Birthday, and it would be in all the characters singing, then it would go silent, and he'd say... To Jonathan. Happy birthday! Happy birthday! To Jonathan. I mean, it was terrible. They
it
had
just
like
a, sounded like the Exorcist voice. Yeah. Happy birthday! Happy birthday! To Jonathan!
Kill
happy
your parents!
To you.
Kill your parents, Jonathan. No, it was. It was pretty spooky, man. But I remember my buddy played it back for me. I was pretty impressed. I think I was like 8.
You played it backwards. It went, buy more pizza. Buy more pizza.
Satan is your pal. Satan is your buddy. Buy more pizza. Pepperoni. Pepperoni. Satan loves pepperoni. Worship.
Extra toppings.
Don't get anchovies. Anchovies are bad. I said anchovies. Those ogie dogie. Anyway, I don't know. But yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about that the other day. Just random thoughts of the Ghost Man Demon Show studio. That's why it's so hard to conduct a show. I have these thoughts.
ADDJs.
Yeah. But I remember that was terrible. So there's like some zit-faced 18-year-old back there going, "Happy birthday, Jonathan." And then they would, put it on the record. So anyway, that was off. Okay, where were we? Oh, that one was kind of stupid. So let's go on to the next one. Appreciate a Dragon Day.
They deserve our appreciation.
How do you? Well, you're into that medieval Renaissance stuff. Do you guys play dragons like at the festival? Do you like, "Oh, it's a dragon. Me hath killed one."
Of course not. What do you think I am? Some kind of fool?
Yes. Give me some. No, I really. Yes, I do. give me some of your old English Renaissance talk. Like if I came up to you and said, "Hello, me friend. I am here to joust you." What would you say?
"Oh, joust me, sir. I think you would need a much longer lance."
Yes, that was good. You get a bell. You get two bells. "I like to lance people. Vigorously." Was that ever a thing?
"I do not believe your lance is long enough to pierce even the lady that accompanies you."
I do like the push-up bras on the girls, though, at the Renaissance.
Those are bodices, sir. Yeah. Bodices.
Have you ever been in, like, a sword fight with another man? No, seriously. Not a sword fight in a bathroom.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Have you ever been in a sword fight, me hearty? Wait, that's not how you speak to them.
I have choreographed a few sword fights, and I always tend to mess them up, so they no longer allow me in the sword fights.
Are those like styrofoam swords?
No, they are real swords. They are not not sharp-edged, but they are pointed.
So you can still break bone with them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, you guys are weird. That's weird, man. Hot chicks, though. I give that to you when they dress
they
up.
They do have hot chicks. Indeed, they do.
Here's another one. Rubber Ducky Day.
Everybody rubber baby buggy bumper.
Rubber baby buggy bumper. Did you have a rubber ducky when you were little?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I never did. What'd you call yours, the rubber ducky?
Donald.
Donald. You're making this up.
No.
I call BS Bell. Rubber baby buggy bumper. No, we're getting better at that. Handwriting day. Bumper. Handwriting day is one, which would count me out. It'd be awful.
I have horrible handwriting. I would be thrown out on that day.
You say, "Make your mark, sir." Anyway, that's one of them. Handwriting day and personal favorite of the guy that wrote this story, answer your cat's question day.
Meow.
Which would no doubt be along the lines of, "If I was allowed to poop on the newspaper all those years, why can't I let one loose on your iPad?" January 25th is the opposite day, which should probably be celebrated at night, followed closely by Data Privacy Day.
but if you are celebrating opposite day at night, how do you know when it's over?
I don't know. That's crazy because, midnight, I would imagine.
But the opposite would be noon.
No, because after midnight is, I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess you're right. That's the first time. Anyway, I'm not reading all these. There's too many of them. Apparently, let's just start a G&D show day. What's the date today? September 20th is officially Ghostman and Demon Hunter show day. Now, who do we have to call on that?
I think you have to get someone to verify the day and make it that day. I don't know who you'd call on that. Let's call President Obama.
Obama? You think he'll take our call on that?
I don't. I don't think he's taking our calls after some of the things we said about him after the last election.
No, I think he. I think he. I didn't say anything, President Obama. I didn't say anything. That was Nathan. Yeah, I guess I did say something. Oh well. Hey, that's the benefits of being in power. Everybody screams about who you are, and then after he steps out, people will be like, "Man, he was better than the one we have."
I know, Sean, that we are not a political show, but come on, we have to except that we're going to make a few statements along the way, because the leading Republican candidate right now is another entertainer.
Donald Trump.
So we'll definitely have to make some comments along the way on that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people are saying he's going to be good. He's going to be kick ass. But I don't know. I didn't say
that. I'm just a little afraid that, you know, he's going to walk into Congress when he makes his first State of the Union address and goes, well, I don't like what I've been seeing. You're fired.
Yeah.
You're all fired.
Hey, did you hear about our buddy, getting back to paranormal talk stuff, but our buddy, Mitchell Townsend. Did you see the Bigfoot print he sent me for my birthday?
I did. That's awesome.
It's an actual Bigfoot print, guys, a casting of one that Mitch has been out there on the trail, the Sasquatch, the Yeti, the whatever, for, you know, years and years and years, and he got this one back in 95 or something. It was
caption when I saw the picture, so I just thought your parents had sent you a cast of your baby feet.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there was a news story came out this week, because I've been watching them, our past guest, Townsend, and who was the other one that had the UFO thing come up, man? Tom Reed.
Oh, yes.
Thomas Reed. A lot of help you are. Sasquatch researcher, teacher, gains counsel and community support for Education Center in Wedlock. If you remember last week, we talked about Mitch was going to, he petitioned the county, actually, where he was, or the town. He wants to start a Sasquatch research center for people, for he could bring his stuff in there and everything else. Well, apparently, he's getting the town to go along with it. A Wedlock man who says he has the evidence Bigfoot exists has gained support for some city county council members for his idea to launch a research and education center focused on the creature in the South Lewis County town. Mitchell Townsend, who has taught Bigfoot classes through Centralia College continuing education program and a Lower Columbia College, again, spoke to counselors Monday night. He first approached them about the center, which would also teach visitors about environmental issues and Native American culture, two previous meetings. While Townsend was hoping to work out a public-private partnership with the town and have Wedlock apply for a grant on behalf of this project based on information from the city attorney, the council doesn't think the center meets the criteria for the grant. So it looks like he's on his own. We might have to help him out down the road, Nathan.
How are we going to do that, Sean?
I don't know. We could raise some money. You know, sell some stuff. I don't know. Sell some of your stuff. You got a lot of stuff there.
I got a great haunted doll that freaks everybody out when they come to visit here.
Yeah, it says the city could. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. The city could send letters of support, but we can't give money. We can't go after grants on his behalf. It had to be privately funded, Wedlock Mayor Lonnie Dowell said. Come on, Mayor of Wedlock.
I tell you.
Do something. Be the first ever to support a Bigfoot research and Native American and environmental research place. I like how Mitch put that in there. Bigfoot, environmental, and Native American. You got to do that. Anyway, guys, big supporters of Mitch, Mitch's work. He came on last month or a month before. Of course, you guys would know him. He found the bones. You remember this, Nathan, with the teeth marks on them?
I do.
Stuff like that. And he says,
the piles. He's the bone piles.
Bone piles. And he's waiting for people to come forth and be able to test it. And, whatnot. Anyway, Nathan, we're running out of time there. Tom Reed also, he's been having a big battle with the, he got the UFO monument. Of course, Tom Reed from the Reed family, UFO abducted. There was an alien sighting. There was some stuff going on. Guys, look up Tom Reed online. Tom's a great guy, good friend of the show. Do you remember they came out with a monument?
Yes.
Okay. They.
I also remember he doesn't like the word abduction.
He doesn't like abduction. That's why I tried to correct myself.
I know. Yeah. It's tough to say what happened to Tom.
It is because it was kind of like that. But people take so much heat. They're like, man, I don't want to use that because everybody uses that. I want people to take me serious. And, you know, that's a shame.
We'll just call it an interaction.
Yes.
He had an alien interaction.
On the show, I was doing the intro, remember? And I said, tonight's guest, Tom Reed, he had an alien encounter. And Tom was like, nice one. But, yeah.
Good cover.
Yeah, we try, folks. But, no, there was a big thing going on, man. They put that monument out there, and it's a huge thing because it was the first time in United States history, or possibly world history, where a town, anything, has gotten together and said, you know what, this had so much stuff happened with it, media coverage. all these people experience this. The electromagnetic fields, the magnetism on the ground, the radiation, all this stuff. We are going to give a plaque. It was that significant in history that we're going to make a monument. And they did. Nice monument. I had a little plaque on it in 19-whatever. This was experienced. Do you remember this, Nathan? Any of this?
I do.
Okay. This came out. It was out like 2 days. All of a sudden, there was people around there going, we don't like it. It's close to this covered bridge. We want it moved. This is insane. So, you know, Tom was online. He's going, come on, man. You know, we got to get some support. We got to get this going on. And then all of a sudden, weeks later, of course, there's a big red spray painted X over the plaque.
That's just wrong.
It's wrong. They graffitied it. But I guess now they're talking about, and this is going to really get the hillbillies or whatever that deface this property, they're going to make a whole park. Just yeah, like a little section to not just about Reed's, Tom's thing, but to honor the victims and stuff of different, you know, UFO sightings.
And of course, there'll be no hunting allowed in this section of the park because, don't want the aliens to come back and see you carrying guns. They might think you're attacking.
It's going to be an alien safe haven. So we finally have a safe place for E.T. to phone home. Tom, you know we're not making fun of
you. They need to put a phone booth in there.
We're behind Tom 100%.
Speaking spell inside.
Yeah, I am E.T. Anyway.
Phone.
Guys, we support Tom. Go check it out online. Tom Reed Family UFO History Case. Amazing what's going on. Nathan, you know what time it is?
What time is it, sir?
G&D Show in the news.
In the news.
In the news. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. It's strange and weird, and it's straight from the G&D Show vaults. And it starts right
now.
Woo! That was nice. It ended quick. I don't know what happened there.
Hey, something. Folks, like to remind you that this is Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the news. That's weird news that Sean and I pick right out of the papers. Why? Because we like the titles. We haven't read them yet, so we're going to make a lot of mistakes. And that's where the G&D drinking game comes in. That's right, every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. Of course, we'd like to remind you that if you're listening to the G&D show while driving in your car, or if you're planning to do anything important, like time a show so that it all comes together,
yeah,
please listen responsibly.
Clearly, it's not working, Nathan, to time your show. Anyway, we're going to try to do this. The old computer was acting weird last week. I don't know if it's going to do this. Do you got one queued up? Are you ready to go?
I can go right away, Sean.
Why don't
because
you do it? First up the bat.
Coming from the Huffington Post,
yeah.
Rabbits are taking over this small island city.
You went right off the top of the list.
I went right off the top of the list.
Ah, way to research, pal. Oh no.
Why do you think it was on the top of the list? I wanted to read it. I like rabbits.
Whatever.
It might sound like the world's cutest infestation.
Okay.
But for the city of Langley, Washington, it is a serious problem. Langley is located on Wibob. Have a drink, folks.
Oh, no.
Whidbey.
Again with this. Okay.
It has been overwhelmed with countless wild rabbits, according to the Sentinel News Station King 5.
Okay.
I guess that's the local news, Sean.
That was good. Station K5. Don't you hate when they throw that in the story?
There is feces everywhere.
Ah!
And there are some illnesses that can be carried and transmitted.
Okay.
Brian Miller, facilities director of the South Windberry School District, told the station. He added that the rabbits recently dug up the middle school's football field.
Yeah.
Which distracted... Oh, sorry. Have a drink, folks.
Ah.
Which the district had to pay $80,000 to restore.
Oh, wow.
Langley has had an abundance of rabbits for years.
Right.
One Seattle-based blog named, even names the animals as an attraction for Woodbay Island. The island official website attributes the booming population to the several domestic rabbits escaping from a fair at the South Woodbay Fair.
Okay.
The record says in 2001. Damage to the football field prompted the district officials to declare the bunnies a safety hazard in August.
I'm here for the
and
gangbang.
Some local gardeners are complaining that the rabbits are eating all of their plants. Another local resident told King 5 that around 100 rabbits were born on her property last year alone, but many of the residents do not want to totally eradicate the rabbits, and the town officials are on their side.
Right.
I don't think we're going to be in the business of trapping and euthanizing rabbits, Mayor Fred said.
Yeah.
I don't think that it would be go over very well with Langley. Langley Police Chief David Marks added, I'm not into killing animals for no reason.
Yeah.
In August, Mayor Fred McCarthy told the record that the public...
I'm here for the gangbang.
Backlash would be the only factor preventing the city... Was not the only... have a drink. Backlash was not the only factor preventing the city from hiring contractors to trap and euthanize the rabbits. It's also too expensive. Officials, however, are toying with the idea of introducing natural predators to help control the population. Last week, falconer Steve Lehman met with the town school district, including McCarthy, to talk about the possibility of introducing hawks to restore the rabbit overpopulation. Langley Mayor's office could not be reached for a comment.
That's terrible. PETA's going to get involved with this. They have to.
Well, you know, if they introduce hawks because it's not an indigenous species, then what do you do? However, what happens when you have too many hawks?
I don't know.
And all your little songbirds go missing because the hawks are hunting down the songbirds.
I don't know. Take out hawks. And then you take out the hawks, you're going to have to take out something else. It's something
else. I thought
else.
We were going to, this story was going to be something like Night of the Limpets, but okay. Yeah,
they ruined it. Next up, the bat. That's my turn, right?
Yes.
All right. World Chess, you did good. World Chess president claims he was abducted by space aliens and they invented chess. Now, I'm not making fun of abduction here, but the World Chess president says they invented chess. Possibly. Who knows? They came in a flying saucer, picked me up, and I spent the whole day in outer space. Here we go, guys. Ready? When, oh my God. Drink up, guys. It's a Russian thing.
There's a reason I didn't read that story,
yeah,
John.
Thank you for that. When Kirsten Lamazaha Lazimnov, he's Russian, guys, deal with it, wakes up every day, perhaps he wonders if this will be the day when his extraterrestrial friends will return to bestow new earth-shaking secrets of the universe to him. You ready for this? That's right. That's what they did right there. That's right. You read it correctly. His ET friends... And this is his ET friends will be coming soon for him. And this isn't even a new revelation about a 53-year-old former president of the Russian Republic of Kalmia. Sorry, guys, drink up. I'm not Russian. We'll just say Lintsmanov is currently, every last name is Nov, is currently president of the International Chess Foundation, FIDE, F-I-D-E. A position he held since 1995 after readily defeating former world-class champion Garry Kasparov last year for the job. His background and position on the UFOs and ETs will undoubtedly bring Luminov under fresh scrutiny. He's reportedly considering running for president of the FIFA, the international governing body of football. We're going to call it soccer, folks, because America is football. The suggestion is, well, I'm just kidding. But we are. The suggestion has been made out for myself. I haven't decided anything about this issue yet, Luminov said, according to the Associated Press. During the Kalmykia, President Luminov, pictured above at the 2006 meeting in Moscow's Kremlin with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Putin claimed he was abducted by extraterrestrials. Luminov said that on the evening in September 1997, ETs wearing yellow spacesuits spirited him out of his Moscow home and took him to their spaceship. Here's the part of an interview he gave in 2007 for an Al Jazeera news report, where we've listed it below. I was taken from my apartment in Moscow to this spaceship, and we went to some stars. And after that, I asked them, please bring me back. They are like people, like us. They have the same mind and the same vision. I talk with them, and I understand that we are not
resistance
alone.
Resistance is futile.
You must learn chess. I understand that we are not alone in this whole world. We are not unique. I'm not a crazy man. That's what Luminov says. I'm not a crazy man, but after I gave the first interview to Radio Freedom in Russia, thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of people wrote me letters and called on the phone saying, "Oh, Kherson, you are a politician and you are not afraid to talk about it." Following a 2010 television interview in which Luminov freely spoke of his alleged meeting with aliens on a spaceship, a member of the Russian parliament, Andrei Lebedev, drink up, guys, voiced several concerns to the president, Dmitry Medvedev, drink up, guys, according to the BBC. Lebedev wanted to know if Luminov was fit to govern since he, since he was taught chess by aliens. Anyway, he is also concerned that Luminov was abducted. He may have revealed details about his job and state secrets. Did you get that?
I got that.
They're calling him crazy because he says he was abducted. But then again, if he was abducted, perhaps he would give secrets to the aliens. Okay. Assuming the whole thing was not just a bad joke, it was an historic event and should have been reported to the Kremlin. That's what BBC says. Anyway, that's what's going on there, guys. I don't know. Is he going to run? Is he going to get it? I don't know, Nathan.
I don't know, Sean.
You better give up, Tanker. This building is surrounded by 40 control agents.
What was that?
It was the wrong. It was the wrong MP3.
Well, I appreciate you playing it out that long. That was. Let it run its course there.
Yeah. It was. It was supposed to be a get smart thing there. Just went out of hand.
Well, you failed. Anyway, do you got the next one or what?
Oh, you want me to read the next one?
Well, I could, I guess. I got it queued up here if you want me to go.
If you want to go with the next one, go ahead.
Because you weren't ready. You were busy playing.
Says the man who interrupts every show I have.
Yeah.
Anyway, Undying Love, Carl Tanzler's mummified dream girl. Do you remember this?
I kind of do remember this story.
Key West, Florida, man. This is really creepy. It really caught my attention. I seen it on, I think Mark and Mark covered it, our buddies.
Yeah, it was whacked out.
Yeah, a lot of people have covered it. Anyway, the story about this guy in, I better just read it off here. America has long been the land of fulfilling one's hopes and dreams or visions, as was the case of the German transplant by the name... That's what they said. German transplant by the name of Carl Tanzler. Tanzler immigrated to Zephyrhills, Florida. His wife and two daughters accompanying him later, only for him to leave his family soon after. He relocated to the Key West Island, was hired as an X-ray tech by the U.S. Marine Hospital, and went by the name of Carl von Kassel, sometimes adding Count to his name. Count. I like that. I'd add Count. Let's add Count to our name. Count Demon Hunter. Count Ghostman.
Count Mr. Burris.
Yeah, there'd be more bookings. One day in 1930, Tanzler's uneventful life was given new meaning. He was in his 50s at the time when he set eyes on a patient, Maria Ellen Malgro de Hoyas. Woo! That's a name, girlfriend. Alina was sick.
That's hot.
That is hot. Alina was sick with tuberculosis, and her mother brought her to the hospital to seek treatment. Anyway, as a child in Germany, Tanzler reported visions of exotic beauty. His one true love revealed to him by an ancestral relative. Tanzler knew that the dark-haired 21-year-old Cuban-American was his true love in the flesh. Despite Tanzler's lack of medical training and a disease-poor prognosis, he took it upon himself to court Alina with an assembly of diagnostic X-ray equipment brought to her parents' home. I don't know. Concoctions, presents, jewelry, and clothing, and of course, professions of his undying love. Her name's Alina, I believe. Ultimately succumbed to her illness and died on October 25th, 1931.
Couldn't save her?
No, he couldn't save her. That's rough, isn't it? The seemingly noble Tanzler paid for her funeral and built a mausoleum for Helen in the Key West cemetery, all with the family's approval. He spent almost every night visiting her tomb for the next 1.5 years. But soon Tanzler's obsession with Alina turned macabre. He reported that her spirit would sing to him in Spanish as he sat at her tomb and begged her, begged him to take her away. I don't know how I messed that up, but I did, guys. Anyway, in April of 1933, Tanzler secretly stole her decaying body and wheeled it to his home in a toy wagon. Okay, there you go. He became dedicated to preserving her corpse in unimaginable ways. He held her bones together with coat hangers and wires, placed glass eyes in the eye sockets, and replaced rotting flesh with silk cloth treated with wax and plaster of Paris. Danzler stuffed rags in the abdomen and chest cavities to maintain the illusion of a human form. The corpse was outfitted with a wig made of Elena's real hair collected by her mother and giving to Tanzler at her death. Clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Oh, and the smell? Oh, and the smell? Tanzler used bottles and bottles of perfume to hide the odor and preservatives such as formaldehyde to delay the decomposition. He spent days with the dead body, sometimes dancing with it and lay with it each night in his bed, possibly practicing necrophilia. No! He had even inserted a paper tube, into the vaginal cavity. After 7 long years, the disturbing rumors began to reach the family. Elena's sister, Florinda, confronted Tanzler at his home and, to her horror, discovered her sister's preserved corpse in his possession. She called the authorities and Tanzler was arrested and detained for the crime of grave robbing.
What did he say he was doing?
I don't know. He was given a psychiatric eval and found mentally competent to stand trial. According to the reports, Carl claimed he planned to use an... He had planned to use an airship to fly his encased wife high into the stratosphere so the radiation from outer space could penetrate Elena's tissues and restore life to her form.
Okay.
My God. During a preliminary hearing, the case was dropped because the statute of limitations had expired. Tanzler was a free man. The corpse was examined by pathologists and physicians, and because of its unique state, it was placed on public display at the Dean Lopez Funeral Home. More than 6,000 people came to view the disturbing wax-like features of the corpse. The case garnered plenty of media attention from the paparazzi and newspapers, including Key West Citizens and Miami Herald. What's more, the public tended to sympathize with Tanzler and thought of him more as a love-struck eccentric than a horrific recluse. Huh?
I tell you, Sean. Love makes you do crazy things.
He wrote an autobiography, which was published in the pulp publication Fantastic Adventures.
I'm afraid to know what the pages were printed on.
Paper tube!
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible.
Hey, Sean, we don't have time for another story, but I just want to throw this out there.
Go ahead, throw it out.
Also from the Huffington Post, breaching humpback whales land on top kayakers.
Oh, my God. I think I heard about this.
For all you folks who think, oh, whales, they won't hurt you. No. They love us. They're so friendly.
They're
wild animals, folks, and they
haven't read Moby Dick.
We're puny in comparison. Two kayakers in California escaped being crushed to death after a breaching humpback whale landed on top of them. Captain Michael Sake of the... Sanctuary Cruise witnessed the incident near Monterey Bay, Moss Landing Harbor on Saturday. He told the local news, KSBW, that the tandem kayakers were paddling through a large pod of feeding whales. A passenger saw the ship and was filming on video. The video is available on Huffington Post, folks. When one of the whales, which can weigh between 50 and 80,000 pounds and measure up to 60 feet, sprung from the water and landed on the unsuspecting kayakers. She yelled, the kayakers, where are they? One woman heard her saying that. They were knocked over, a passenger said. After being thrown overboard, the man and woman managed to make it safely back to shore with the help of other kayakers in the area. They were lucky to be alive. The animals were massive, and it could have proven fatal. Whale watching is an extremely dangerous activity.
It's terrible.
Wrote one of the kayakers wrote on their website, his website.
Yes.
And you should realize humpback animals are wild animals and totally unpredictable.
Unpredictable. Well, you know what? We're at 56, Nathan. Should we do one more segment? Can we sneak it in there?
Which one do you want to do, Sean?
Well, it's your call. I'll let you make the call tonight.
You didn't get to say much last week during Rot Talk.
Oh, Rot Talk. That's right, guys. You hear the music. It's time for another G&D Show original series, Rot Talk.
Rot Talk, Rot Talk, Rot
That's right, guys. Where each week we discuss what's happening, what's new, what's going down on that show we know, we love, we actually changed the time for. The Walking Dead. Right now, Fear the Walking Dead. We just haven't had a chance to find a new name for it. We're just going to leave it at Rot Talk, I think, aren't we?
Rotting Talk. Rotting Talk.
The rottiest talk with the Ghost Man and Demon Show. Anyway, guys, Fear the Walking Dead is out right now. Nathan, I'm going to go ahead and lead us off. I know you like this one. But you were correct, sir. You said, hang on, give it a chance. Now, I did not badmouth it. I didn't. I said it was kind of slow. I had an opinion. And I think most of the world had an opinion as well. It wasn't like Walking Dead, where it came out of he woke up in the hospital, bang, zombies all over you, bang, all this going on. People were used to seeing that from The Walking Dead. And all of a sudden, we have to grow with a new group and do all this stuff. And, you know, people are going to be skeptical. But, you know, it got that feel to it last week. What do you think?
I was really appreciative of the story, because they didn't just throw us into it, and they knew that we already loved the original cast.
That's true. That's true.
So how are we going to grow to understand what these people are going through? We have to relate to them. So they put them in the exact same situation we would be in if the zombie apocalypse was starting around us. And I think they did a great job in that. I think they've done a great job in the buildup. I was sitting there with Chrissy P watching it the other night.
Right, right.
And she said, why aren't people doing anything about this? People die, they're coming back to dead, or from the dead. Why aren't people stopping them from biting people so that the disease doesn't spread? And I had to remind her that we are in the Walking Dead universe, where you do not have to die from a bite
right.
to be brought back. If you die, you are a zombie
right.
from anything. So in the very first episode, if we want to throw back, Sean, for people who haven't watched it yet, in the opening scene, a young drug user, his girlfriend is a zombie. She obviously OD'd on drugs the night before.
Yes.
And now she's a zombie. And this is what we're going through, folks. It's a buildup. It's a buildup. And I loved the closing line of last week's show, now things are going to get better.
You think they threw that in there?
Because we know what's going to happen next.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're not going to get better, folks. They're going to get worse. I tell you what, on the Rot Talk 1 to 10 scale, I'm going to give Fear the Walking Dead episode 3 a 8.5, sir.
I think I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Let's not do numbers. Let's say on the Rot Talk scale for Fear the Walking Dead, 1 to 10. Let's do skulls. Skull scales.
Let's do, in honor of Herschel, let's do severed legs.
Severed leg scale. Okay, okay. This week's severed leg scale. Okay, out of 1 to 10, you're giving it 7.5 dismembered legs.
Yes, I think they could have gone a little further and pushed the edge of the envelope with last week's episode.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they could have. But you know what? There's brilliance there, and I think they're bringing it home, and I'm not going to question it. But, guys, we got to go to break. 8 p.m. is up on us. We should already be on the phone with our guest. But tonight's guest, let's remind you, Dean Haglund, Canadian actor, guys, known for his characters, Richard Langley, Ringo, for his short from The Lone Gunman, and that smash TV hit we all know we loved, The X-Files. He's going to come by studio tonight, talk past X-Files, and who knows? Maybe present X-Files. I want to believe, Nathan. I want to believe.
I believe. Let's do that thing we do, Sean.
Let's do that thing we do. Anyway, guys, each week we play an independent band. We support the little man on the show. One we know we love. This week's band is McCullough. MC Cullough. McCullough. Name of the song, Nathan, is My Heart. It Ain't Easy, Baby.
And folks, if you're not understanding the words, it's okay.
Yeah, you don't have to. Anyway, Demon Hunter!
Ghostman!
Shadow Nation! We'll be right back.
Davis, the actor from the X-Files at Continuum. My autobiography is Where There's Smoke, and you're listening to Ghost Man and the Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio. You guessed it, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Tonight's guest, he's a Canadian actor, best known for his role as Richard Ringo Langley, one of the Lone Gunmen from the television smash hit The X-Files, also from the TV series The Lone Gunmen, and much, much more, may I add. He is also the host of the Chill Pack Hollywood Hour podcast. Please help us welcome Shadow Nation to the studio, Mr. Dean Haglund. Dean, what's going on, brother?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to be here.
It's so great to be on stage. I forgot to add that. Comedic genius, everybody.
Improv actor. Going to walk, run circles around us this evening.
Yeah. Oh, nonsense. Nonsense. You guys have the show.
That's what he said, Dean. When I told him you were in to the improv, he goes, oh, my God, he's going to run circles around us tonight.
No. I'm happy to let you guys shine, and I'll just answer questions.
No, we want
like
you to
a
shine.
Common criminal.
We want you to shine with us, brother.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
And it's so nice that you were able to join us from Australia, Dean.
It's Monday.
Well, it's Monday. Yeah, it's already like Monday morning, Monday afternoon.
Oh my God.
Monday morning. Yeah. So Monday's going to arrive on this planet. I am here to announce that.
Right.
That's my breaking news.
It's here. This just in,
you're,
Dean Hagen.
You're in the future, Dean.
I'm in the future. Blowing your mind, man. International
you got to tell me, how's the stock market doing this morning?
Yeah.
Sell, my friend. Sell right now.
Sell today. Buy rice.
Yeah.
Everybody buys rice. Anyway, it's kind of time travel. Right there.
That's one of the best lines from Family Guy, where he goes to Europe and he goes, "It's yesterday there. I'm going to call them and tell them it's tomorrow." And he calls up and he says, "Oh, you can't be Peter. Peter died today." And he hangs and goes, "We can never go home."
Right. So not, hey Dean, not only does the toilets spin backwards there, they flush backwards, but now the Monday comes a day early. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
I know the
toilets
don't go backwards.
But there are creatures here that'll kill you just for no reason. There's a lot of that going on.
And that's just in the bars.
Who's dying?
No, they've warned me about the funnel spider. Have you heard of this thing?
Oh, yes. No. I'm an exterminator, so I know everything about the
funnel spider. Fantastic.
Yeah,
well, we've had the huntsman spider in our place. Have you seen one of these?
No,
I've only seen the pictures.
Okay, seeing it in on the stairs, it's bigger than your hand.
Okay.
So, you know, normally I'd like take a Tupperware container and sort of trap the spider and sort of throw it back into the wild.
Yeah.
I had to take a giant pot, and this thing can actually jump about to half a foot to a foot to the right or left when it sees you coming for it. A jumping, wild, bigger than your hand spider. Luckily, that one's not poisonous, but it's really common.
I love your PC answer there. I usually put it in a Tupperware dish and put it in the middle of the forest and release it to nature. That, my friend, is squished on your wall. You know it.
Once it's outside, then I crush it. So
yeah.
Be free. We get the brown recluse here, which is a tiny spider that when it bites you, your skin rots away, your flesh rots away.
Yes.
And in fact, I think a comedian friend of mine got bitten by it in Los Angeles, and there was an exterminator offering $10,000 if he could prove that it was a brown recluse, but he couldn't because he was living in this warehouse and never found the damn thing. He woke up with his foot rotting off his ankle, and he had to go and get it saved at the last moment.
So he goes, "I'll tell you what, prove it." Well, my foot's rotting. My foot's rotting off the bone, but hey.
Yeah, but you might have injected yourself with that venom.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know. Like, show me the spider.
Dean, we're going out right now, my friend, on the Canadian network.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. We wanted to get your people. Paranormal A. Radio. It's on everywhere. But you know what? You're a radio host. You've done so much out there, and I want to jump into it. We ask a little bit different on this show. We don't usually jump into it with the Hollywood type stars like yourself. We want to know, you grew up a Canadian kid. Now all of a sudden you're an Aussie. Man, where did it start? Your passion for acting? How did you get into it?
Well, it did start in Canada, believe it or not. Let's see. I was born in Winnipeg, right in the middle of the country, but raised in Vancouver over on the West Coast.
Hey.
And there I started doing stand-up first, believe it or not, when I was just a lad, old enough to get in bars. And,
well, in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, in Canada, that could be any age.
Take your meds.
And then from there, I went to university and got my degree in theater and started playing theater sports in Vancouver with the likes of Ryan Stiles and Colin Mochrie from Who's the Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah.
And then they were a big influence, and so I kept doing improv and stand-up. And Vancouver has so much film and television going on that, you know, before The X-Files, I had long blonde hair like on The X-Files, but the only thing casting agents could see me as were drug dealers, criminals, ne'er-do-wells. So if you watch Street Justice or... what were the other ones? What was that horrible one?
There were so many. Please.
There were so many. There was one called Unsub, where the guy. Yeah, there was a lot of those Stephen J. Cannell crap.
Yeah.
I was a criminal in a lot of those. And then X-Files came along and said, "Oh, wait, he's a long-haired computer geek," and never looked back.
There it is. And, it, you know, when you started on X-Files, first off, when you were growing up a little tyke, in Canadian in the pubs. Did you? Did you?
That's
did,
exactly how it is. Yeah.
Hiding behind a can of Foster's. Did you ever discuss conspiracies and aliens and stuff like that with some of the elders in the community there or your friends?
Well, you know, I was never into, but my brother really was. So I actually, when I was on the show, I would actually call him up when we'd get a script of some sort of conspiracy that I didn't know a lot about, and he would have all the inside information on that. So him and I discussed sort of stuff, but he was more into the Egyptology, ancient aliens thing, like you see on the History Channel now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of that was discussed, and that was about the extent of it. I'm trying to think, was there any other, like, wild government conspiracies going on in Canada?
I don't
the
know.
The crazy Dew Line. The Dew Line was insane.
What's that one? You know. The Dew Line.
The Dew Line was a radar shield up in the Arctic that was supposed to watch for Russian missiles coming over the North Pole.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But in fact, they said it was turned the other way and they were listening to all of us.
Uh-oh, Nate, you're cutting out, pal.
I'm cutting out now. Yeah, you're cutting out on me.
Yeah, he was cutting.
That's it.
I think Nathan cut out on us. Nate, are you there, buddy? Well, yeah, I can hear you kind of. Hey, anyway, Dean, I'm still here. Nathan, work on that. You cut yourself out. Must be a short in the old wire. What the wire?
Well, or the moment we talk conspiracy over the international airwaves,
the truth is out there.
Well, you know, it comes crushing down on you.
There he is.
We got bumped off the air once by the no longer existent KGB.
So. Yeah, we had a Russian a Texas Russian. Dean came on the show to talk about aliens among us, and we were doing the show, man, and all of a sudden he's like, well, you know, I was going down the road there, peace, and you just couldn't hear nothing.
We had just made a joke that, oh, you know, we don't believe the KGB is really disbanded, and all of a sudden, everything gone.
See, I know. That's it happens to Jordan Maxwell all the time. I don't know if you've ever had him on your show.
No, I haven't had Jordan on yet.
Yeah, if you do, all your circuitries will go kaputs.
Oh, terrific. Now, well, I'll tell you, last week, Nathan, one more, and then you got it, brother. Yeah. We had Tom Braidwood on, your pal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he came on the show. It was a week before last. And Nathan called him a darn illegal Canadian stealing all our acting jobs. What's up with the Canada and the X-Files, man?
Well, you know, that was the thing. At the time, the dollar was at a discrepancy of like 40%.
Okay.
So a lot of the production companies would save money by going up to Canada and benefiting from the exchange rate. So I think because the X-Files back in 93 was such a unusual TV show, nobody wanted to spend a lot of money on it. So they sent it to Canada. And once there, Chris Carter fell in love with the gloomy, doomy atmosphere of the Pacific Northwest rainforest and used it to its full advantage. So instead of waiting for sunny days to shoot like so many other shows would do, he would shoot in the rain, he would shoot in the dark, he'd let the cloudy days be part of the show.
Yeah.
And that gave it that whole atmosphere. So I think once he did that, then all the other shows realized, oh yeah, Vancouver looks really cool because it's gray and wet all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I was just going to mention when Tom was on 2 weeks ago, Sean, that he had mentioned that you had just flown up from Australia and come to Connecticut.
Yes.
And I am literally 20 minutes away, and I was supposed to be there that day, and something came up, I couldn't go.
What?
And I was sitting there going, are you kidding me? I missed.
And this was the first time in 4 years the three of us had been together at a convention.
Ah,
and I
you're
know.
Killing me.
And did Braidwood tell you that he lives up in the Rocky Mountains in a cabin with no electricity, no internet, no phone?
Oh, he's like a caveman.
Oh, totally. And so I'm surprised you got him on the show because there's finite little tiny windows of opportunity to talk to that guy.
You were harder to get him on, than Braidwood. I'm like, where is this guy? Planet X or something?
Well, my website, you just go to my website and email me, and then I respond in 5 to 10 days.
No, we like to do it the hard way. In the 10 years on the air, we go through the agents, and then the agents get back to us in about a month. And...
Oh, yeah. I never talked to my agents.
Oh, that's terrific. I think...
and that explains how many shows you've been on lately.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's why I'm in Australia. That was my agent's idea.
That's it. Move to Australia. No, but you got some big stuff coming out. I doubt you can talk much about it, but... Let's get on the topic of the X-Files. Everybody
loves
it. You got into the X-Files. They seen you coming. You've been called the Garth of from Wayne's World, the Garth of the X-Files.
And I just got to say, love the new hair, Dean. Love
it. Oh, thank you. Yeah? Well, yes. I hate to say what happens when I'm on the revival of the X-Files, but there was a wig that came out.
There's a revival's answer,
you
guys.
Heard it here first.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah,
exactly. That's your big spoiler alert.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well, good night, Dean. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Oh, I should have saved that for the end. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, you are coming back. Everybody around the country, huge X-Files fans. Oh, my God. On Twitter, there's about a billion different, I want to believe, X-Files followers. I think there's a Dean Haglund actual following site just for you. I mean, I couldn't attach
really?
It.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't tweet everybody out there, and they're all tuning in now. But you're coming back. Everybody's sitting on pins and needles. They want to know, oh, my God, it's only for – is it 6 or 7 episodes?
They're doing 6, but the network is loving them so much.
Awesome.
That may be changing. That's all I know.
You don't know. Yeah. Oh, you heard it there first, guys. There's the bell. Another spoiler. Anyway, brother, it's coming back. What did you feel like when they called you and said, hey, dude, guess what? What was the feeling?
Well, you know, there's some trepidation at first because when the 90s were happening, the X-Files, nobody was into ghost hunting and Ghostman and Demon Hunter didn't exist.
Right.
You know, all of these kind of shows. So it was still kind of a unusual plots, you know, of UFOs and weird paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
And now that's in such the popular culture, every time I turn on the History Channel, there's another show about that sort of thing. And there's Ghost Hunter shows left, right, and center.
Yeah.
That, you know, what can the X-Files do to go back to being this sort of unusual themed show. So I'm glad to say I read the script and it's and Chris has got his head on his head on that one for sure.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So I was worried at first, what are they going to talk about? And in fact, as Chris said, it's just you know, it's the same show just with a 13-year commercial break.
And now these words from our sponsors 13 years later.
13 years later. Mm-hmm. Now we're back.
Oh, dude.
And then so I was trepidatious, read the script, and I thought, oh, okay, great. It has to happen. And they flew us out and literally talking, I don't know if Tom said this, but we were sitting on set and I looked at him and I said, this is like I didn't cross the international dateline. I flew back 20 years in time. Everything was exactly the same. There was the same crew guys. It was the same sense of humor.
Awesome.
David was hilarious. Mitch was there. You know, it's like none of us had ever left.
Dean, do you think they're doing that getting the original cast, which is amazing. And that's going to bring it home, I believe, in my heart by having all you guys back. Do you think they're doing that? Like you said, the sound, lighting guys, the cameramen, is that like a lucky charm? Are they bringing them back in the mix to kind of not break a winning combination?
I think, you know, a lot of that is the case. And also, you know, The X-Files was really an elaborate TV show to do. I mean, there were long, long hours, 16, sometimes you saw the sun come up every morning, every Saturday morning, the crew saw the sun come up. Yeah. Because they've been working from Friday into Saturday morning. So when you're doing that kind of long hours, you want guys who've been in the trenches, who've stuck it out and know what to expect. And so you're not going to want really a young rookie crew. You want some new guys and some energy, of course, but you're going to want those guys that are knowing what to expect and ready to do battle, as it were.
Well, see, we're getting all the spoilers from you. I'm loving it. This is the most information we got, Nate, because Frohickey comes on, Tommy, and he says, well, I got a beer. He was an awesome guest, but when it came to the show, he goes, well, I was out there, and that's about all I can say. You know how Tom's got that voice, man.
Yeah, Yeah, totally. Mm. But, you know, he was the first AD for the entire run of the show.
Right.
So he knows all the stories. And I've been trying to force a book out of that guy because he brought his camera to set from year one. Wow. And took behind-the-scenes photos. And he says he has about 20,000 to 25,000 negatives of just the set of the X-Files.
Oh my God, it's a book.
In a box in the basement, and he was going to go through it. And I said, we've got to make a book out of this. Like, I'm twisting his arm, but then he goes fishing up in the cabin and there's no talking to him.
And I think that's the thing about...
Says the man who moved to Australia.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
You're like Elvis.
Take that back.
Yeah, you're like Elvis.
Rare sightings.
Yeah. I seen Dean. He was in the hills of... Is there hills in Australia? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They're mountains. They're buttes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was swimming with great whites on the reef. I don't know. So what do you think about Australia, man? Canada or Australia? Where do you love? Where's your heart at? It has to be Canada, right?
Yeah. Well, it's shocking how similar Canada is to Australia. Yeah. Regarding temperature, geography, the drinking culture.
Yeah.
In fact, the Australians
being totally peopled by criminals.
Yeah.
Being totally exactly. Remember all the draft dodgers that went up in Vietnam? That's basically the Canadian population, and over here. So it's remarkable. It feels much like I've come home to Vancouver.
Yeah.
After all these years, just they have. Slightly weird money and a funny accent. So,
yeah. Now,
yes, they have slightly weird money. I've seen the new Canadian money.
it's the loony and the toonie and the plastic. Yeah.
You got to love
it. Well, I guess you got to love it. Here, the $2 coin is smaller than the $1 coin, which is smaller than the 50 cent coin. So it goes in the wrong order.
Who is first shall be last.
Exactly.
I got to say, Sci-Fi threw me for a loop about 2 years ago. They came out with a show called Defiance.
Yes.
And there's a character on there named, I'm trying to remember the name, and I have to look at it. It's Daytek. And when I first saw it, I thought it was you.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be Tony Curran, because when Sean said, hey, we've got Dean on, I'm like, oh, great. You know, we can talk about Defiance. And I looked at him and went, wait, that's not him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony gets that a lot. And apparently he's sick of being called Langley.
yeah.
So
it's the hair,
it's,
man. It's the hair. It's
it's got to be the hair.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you realize.
I think they just need to bring you on for an episode so people can see the two of you next to each other.
Exactly. Going, see, we're not that similar. Like, if you actually see us a person side by side, it's not really as close as it could be. And in fact, there was Scott, what's his last name? But he did a couple episodes as the X-Files as a, you know, he lived in a cabin and he was a lone hacker.
Yeah. Okay.
And he had glasses. But him and I would always audition together because we had both had long blonde hair and both lived in Vancouver. And so for all of these drug dealers and ne'er-do-wells that we would audition for, we'd see each other in the room all the time. And then I got the lone gunman, but then he would come on the X-Files. Like, I think he did 3 or 4 episodes and got his own trading card, the whole 9 yards.
Yeah.
But it was funny that, you know, we had these parallel careers going on. So it happens when you grow your hair long that you sort of get to know all the other long-haired actors.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, too, because you were the reason in the early 90s I grew my hair out.
Really?
And I had hair down my back, man. And I was going for Langley, and all I ever heard was Garth.
Yeah.
It was,
damn it, huh?
And he joined the carnival because of you.
I did. Well, no, I worked the carnival before that.
Carney. Joe.
Oh, right.
I thought it was Joe Dirt.
Carney.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but do you also remember the day that suddenly you went from being a guy with long hair to a guy with a mullet?
yeah, I do remember that day.
It was the weirdest day. Like, I was doing comedy clubs by this point, headlining all over North America. And I was, at 1 week, everybody, hey, is long hair come? And then the next week, hey, mullet. That thing shining up from the audience. Like, it permeated America, like, in 1 week.
It did, and it was horrible because I was sitting there with the long hair, and I had the full long hair, but then I had to try and get a job. So I tried the party in the back, business on the front, and that lasted about a year before I just couldn't take the mullet comments anymore, and it all went.
I know, it's so weird. I didn't understand, because I, you know, I just never cut it. I was too lazy. And so it was just, hey, long hair guy, and then suddenly mullet.
Yeah. Hippie boy. No, listen, you know, we had William B. Davis on, the Smoking Man, and he was talking about, and we had to ask Tommy too, but the auditions for the X-Files, when you first came in, like William said, hey, man, that, you know, my first scene, they put me against the counter, I had to smoke a cigarette, and he said, that was it. I thought that was the end of it. When they brought you in for auditions, how did that go down for the X-Files?
Well, the gunmen were really weird, because I don't think they knew what they wanted.
Yeah.
So... when I came in, it was all my improvising and comedian friends because they thought, oh, it should be funny because it sort of read like a funny scene.
Yeah.
But then they were like all the guys that are like muscle men in military fatigues with shaved heads, like doomsday preppers, like they were having like going to have that like be a gunman sort of thing.
Yeah. Or
they didn't know. So it was such a wide range. And of course, my strategy when going into audition is to know the least about it as I possibly can so that the character is just me. That's right. My acting technique. I don't want to read all the background on these characters because then there's too much going on in my head. So all my agent said was, I don't know what this show is, like FBI and aliens, go read for this character. And so I go, okay, great. And so I read and they had me come back again and again to read against a guy in a suit to play Byers. And so I was reading against a bunch of people three or four times, including my best friend, Gary Jones, who later became Walter Harriman on Stargate SG-1.
Oh,
nice.
And he was in a suit. And we said, oh, my God, it's going to be hilarious if we both get it and we're the lone gunman thing. And he didn't get it. And then the day I get to set is the first day I meet Bruce Harwood.
Yeah.
Playing Byers. I never met him in the audition room, and he's there. And then I go, who did they get for Frohickey? And he goes, oh, the first AD. And I go, oh, what kind of monkey business is this? Casting the AD? What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we thought it was just the one episode. And at the time, Chris and Frank Spotnitz and Vince Gilligan were all on the early stages of the internet. There was a news group called Alt TV X-Files that they would lurk in and read feedback on the show. And when the gunman showed up, all the news groups went, oh my God, this proves that the producers and writers are lurking in our news group because they wrote characters exactly like our culture. And so in fact, they kept bringing us back to have the internet chatter spike up again. And they would even take lines from the news group to give to the gunman to say.
Oh, wow.
Now, first time Gillian Anderson walks on set.
Yeah.
Your reaction.
Well, that's the weird thing. It was first season, and she, if you look at the first season of The X-Files, she was actually cast to be kind of mousy and dowdy.
Right.
So she had, you know, the trench coat on, but she wasn't all like her, you know, glitzed out.
Oh, yeah.
She was sort of like, oh, yeah, it's sort of like a...
business
FBI agent. Yeah, business-like. And so I was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, yeah. And there was no, like, wow, until, like, season three when she went off to do a photo shoot where it was all glammed up, and you're like,
oh,
hey.
The For Him magazine shoot, I remember that.
That's the one, exactly. And there was a...
Playboy.
Yeah, no, Legal had taken some photos down of a photographer, and there was one of her and her all... wet on a bed in her undergarments.
Yeah. She's holding the bedpost.
That was an awesome photo shoot. I have to say one of...
Easy.
one of For Him Magazine's best shoots of all time.
Yeah. And that sort of, you know, changed the whole tenor of the show for sure.
Yeah. Now, you know, people have talked about it. Who knows if you want to comment about it. If you don't, that's fine. But people have talked about the chemistry on set at The X-Files and how some people didn't get along. Is this any fact to that?
Well, you know, okay, here we are. We're talking for 30 minutes. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
You guys, what, you do an hour show?
Yeah, hour and a half.
Yeah.
Hour and a half. But you don't spend 16 hours together every day, do you two?
No. Oh, we used to. We used to be on television. And during the TV time, Sean and I nearly killed each other.
Yeah.
Exactly. So is that tension on set, or is that you guys just hanging out too long together? So, you know, after 16 hours, of course you're going to say something snotty to anybody. So, and then everybody jumps up going, oh, there's tension on the set. No, it's everybody's exhausted from standing in the rain while you get an alien trying to trip over you, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning. So there was never anything like that. Like it was blown out of the press to be.
I could just see you guys in a dark room somewhere going, listen, this is the conspiracy and we believe this. Cut. Gosh, dang it. I swear to God.
Yeah, guys, we're done. We're going home.
That's it.
Sean and I, we've agreed that my favorite comment about television is the difference between reality television and scripted television is in reality television, you get to keep your real name.
That's it.
And when we were doing reality TV, we'd have like this awesome thing going on. Sean and I were literally, we saw something insane. We're running down a tunnel. We're like at the edge of the tunnel. We're about to go around the corner and somebody yells, stop, I'm out of film.
Dun, dun, dun,
and we were
dun.
Like, are you kidding me?
Okay. Lunch, yeah. Guys.
Cue music, Subway's here. Yeah, anyway, hey, not only are you a brilliant comedian actor, but also you're an inventor. A lot of people don't know this. The Chill Pack, baby.
Yeah, look at that, huh?
Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, it's a long story, but I invented a laptop cooling system that goes directly into the laptop, draws the heat away from the CPU, speeds the whole thing up. Yeah. And interestingly enough, I won a silver medal at the International Inventors Expo in Geneva, Switzerland, of all things. And I sold the patent recently to another company.
Billionaire.
And they kept me on as a consultant. So I'm actually not selling these things anymore. They are. However, I checked their website and they've removed it.
What?
So I know.
Well, they're redesigning it so they can fit the microchips in it that can tell them everything we're doing on our computers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No,
I mine was a simpler thing, so I think they're updating it. But right now it's unavailable.
They found out it was a cooling pack for the alien human hybrid gene. Yeah.
I didn't get that far. the inventing road on that.
Well, there's always tomorrow. Anyway, I want to do an Oprah real quick. I want to say to all our lucky listeners of the Shadow Nation, everyone gets a free Chill Pack. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Everyone in the audience. No. But you know how she does. No. It'd been cool if I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Dean, we have to do this because we did this last week or week before last. And we have to throw some possible conspiracies at you. And have you tell us whether you think they're true or not.
No, let me. Okay. Let me bring it up. It's 60 seconds. This is our first time for it.
Yes.
All right. So what we'll do, Dean, is we say 60 seconds. I read off the conspiracies to you. You try to say fact or totally bogus, whatever. Fact or fiction. Okay. So we'll run through it. Nathan, start the clock, please. All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I got the wrong one up. Stop the clock, Nathan.
Fact. That's a fact.
That's a fact. We queued up the wrong one on the show. All right. Okay, this is the top 10 greatest conspiracies. Here we go. Hold on. Hold the clock. Hold the clock. Here we go.
Some of these might require an explanation.
Oh, my God. This might be next.
Well, that's
week.
Why you got 60 seconds. You can say yes or no and give us a quick explanation.
Okay, wow.
And you know that if you don't know, just say I don't know. Like,
trust me, we tried to go through this earlier. 60 seconds takes a lot longer than you think.
All right, really? Nathan, start the clock. Okay, Dean, number one, September 11th.
Government
well, happened. Oh, government conspiracy. Yeah, no, it happened. September 11th came and went.
Right.
True with caveats.
Okay, copy that. Number two, the assassination of JFK.
It was a suicide.
Wow. Number three, Roswell.
Fact.
Okay.
It exists. I agree.
It exists. Yeah, I drove through there. It's a lovely town.
Number four, NASA faked the moon landing.
False.
Number five, the Illuminati in the New World Order. They run things.
Yeah, that's A fiction fact, not true.
Are we at an hour yet? Okay, number. Yeah, number. Exactly. All right. Oh my gosh. Number six, Elvis Presley faked his own death.
True.
Number seven, Shakespeare was not Shakespeare. Oh, we're out of time.
Damn it. Oh, I got a good Shakespeare one.
All right, give
us the Shakespeare one. I want to hear the Shakespeare one.
Shakespeare was transcribing an improv group.
Oh.
So, that makes sense to me now.
Right? They were an improv group that did the same show over, and then they were improvising their lines, and then at the end, the stage manager, who was William Shakespeare, he also parked the horses. He said, hey, just write down this one. We're going to put it to bed and start improvising a new show.
Right. Well, the other three, Paul McCartney is dead.
That's no. I'd say no.
That's a no. Harold Wilson was a Soviet agent. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. No.
No. Okay.
Well, maybe.
You don't know.
I will have to
see.
He's going to think tonight. He's going to Google on the Google machine.
Yeah.
All right. Number 10. Last. The AIDS virus was created in a laboratory.
Yeah, but how do you get it into the monkey in the first place?
That's true. Oh, my God. There
and
you
how
go.
How do you get it in the right monkey?
Exactly.
Yeah,
put lipstick on the monkey when you're done so that somebody wants to.
Dane, you didn't win tonight, my friend, but you still will, you still will receive the official G&D show toaster oven. No, I'm kidding.
Ah, fantastic. Will it work at a 240 voltage?
Oh, no, it's only a 120.
Yeah.
Ah, damn it. Okay, I can't.
You have to get the converter.
Yeah. Well, see, now we don't have to send it. You Aussie.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Dean, I got to ask you, you got the show coming out. Of course, you're behind it. What do you think's going to happen with it? Is it going to be a winner? Are we going to do another stint, a long run of the X-Files?
Well, you know, I can't say anything, but the network is loving this idea.
Yeah.
And it feels like it might have legs. That's all I can say.
That's it.
Well, Dean, I have to say, from Sean to my experience on TV, I really hope that good phone call comes quickly.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like waiting for that phone call.
Yeah, totally.
And now, Dean,
you know, that should be a fortune cookie. I hope good phone call comes quickly.
Hey, remember your old buddies at the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, Sean and Nathan, when they say, hey, do you know any crazy radio show people besides yourself that would be good for conspiracy things, you know? Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Well, send me your headshots.
Yeah.
And
we're doomed.
No.
We've got the voices for broadcasting and the faces for radio.
Hey, we did. What comes next for the great Dean Haglund?
Well, I'm performing a lot down here. I'm at there's an improv tournament in Sydney, Australia, called the Cranston Cup that I am now in a team performing in. And you'll see me also in a new movie called The Lady Killers. Yes, this is brand new, just hitting the film festival circuit. And go to my website, deanhaglund.com, for more info.
Nice. Well, Dean, I got to tell you, man, we're a huge fan, always have been, of what you do. Everything you touch is golden, brother. And thank you so much for coming on. Nathan, do you have anything else for Dino?
I do not. I got to say, that was probably one of the most fun nights I've had on the show in a while.
Yeah. It's been a fun afternoon for myself, I'll tell you.
Thanks, Dino. Hey, can you stay on the line one second?
Dean, what's the weather like tomorrow?
Tomorrow, it's going to be sunny with some rain. Where are you guys? I'm sending you the sun here right now.
It could be sunny with rain, snow, and
sleet. It's going to be sunny with rain. Warm with a little coolness passing.
Coolness, and there's an Antarctic breeze coming up my street. I don't know why that is.
I could see your hands moving to the teleprompter right now. And over here in the upper. Anyway, Dina, staying online just real quick, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nathan, what do you say we pay the bills?
Oh, okay.
DeanHaglund.com, guys, check him out. Dean from the X-Files.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Anyway, guys, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you guys listening? Because they want to know, so check them out at actionaudioapps.com. Midnight Syndicate Free Music Archives. Thanks for the tunes. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.